Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God and His righteousness and consent. In the Bible, it tells us several places, consent not. It warns us against consenting. It warns us against oath-taking. Jesus warns us against oath-taking, which is a form of consent. Application, don't pray to the fathers of the earth, but pray to your Father in the heavens. That's telling you not to apply, because application is consent. And of course, it tells us to make no covenants, no contracts with them where we go, where the inhabitants where we go. Now, they're not talking about, you know, I'll cut your hay if you pay me this amount, or I'll fix your fence if you pay me this amount. They're talking about social contracts. Social contracts were to say that you get to make the laws for me. You get to rule over me. You get to exercise authority over me. You get to own me. You get to own my right to work, my right to labor, my right to make decisions and choices. And that's why the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, because the Corban of the Pharisees was based on a contract with the state run by Herod the Great. But also, Corban was run by the Romans under Augustus Caesar. He set up a system of Corban, and Tiberius expanded on it, and Claudius expanded on it from there, and finally it became mandatory. And there's a three-step program that is described in Roman law, whereby a person is manumitted, separated, set free from their father. They no longer have to honor their father, but they will honor the state, because the state becomes your father. And this is should be well known in history. It should be taught to everybody. It's certainly part of the gospel, because Jesus said, call no man father. Most people don't understand why he said that. Why does he say, call no man father? Of course, Protestants will say, well, he's talking about priests in the Catholic Church. They call themselves father. But there were no priests in the Catholic Church back when Jesus said that. So who was he talking about? He was talking about the Roman Senate, the Roman Emperor, and the Sanhedrin, who were actually becoming baptismal fathers, fathers of baptism. What are they talking about? We put up a number of web pages recently answering questions on the Living Network, and you should all be members of the Living Network. If you hear us online and you have email, join the Living Network in your local area. The reason you join is to meet other people so that you can love them as you love yourself. That's why we have created the Living Network based on geography, so that you can connect with one another. And then you can actually do what Christ says, to love one another. And seeking the kingdom is what? Seeking the right to be ruled by God, right to make choices based on what God wants you to do, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But see, if you make contracts and covenants with the inhabitants where you go, they may have a requirement that you do this or do that and follow these orders, follow these demands. They may be able to take from you part of your labor, part of the produce of the land that you own. They may even own the land that you own, and you're actually serving them. You're bowing down and serving them. And that's one of the things that was included in that commandment, to make no covenants with them nor with their gods, because you would end up bowing down and serving their gods. And of course, gods is simply the word for ruling judges. And so their ruling judges become their gods. They tell them what to do. They tell them what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong. And they have taken the law out of the hands of the people, and the people must bow down and serve these lawmakers and rulers. Now, how do they get to be lawmakers and rulers? You give them the power. How do you do that? By consent, by covenants, by contracts, even by constitutions. There's lots of different kinds of constitutions, and the Bible talks about writing constitutions. And if you write a constitution, it even tells you five things you should include in that constitution. I've never found a constitution with those five things in it. As a matter of fact, in most cases, I'm lucky to find one of the five things that God said to put in your constitution if you want to have a constitution, if you want to elect a ruler who can exercise authority. He said, put these five things in. And in most cases, they haven't put the five things in. And we've written whole books on this subject, which you can read and study, and it's going to be quite different than your common everyday Christian preacher or your Jewish rabbi or even your imam. But it's what Abraham and Moses and Jesus Christ as prophets of God. And so this is serious, that you should understand what Jesus actually said and what he was against and what he opposed and what he told us not to have anything to do with. And as you see that that's exactly what Moses said, exactly what Abraham said, there's a connection. There's witnesses, both Old and New Testament are witnesses. And any great prophet would have seen this, and I'll lay you odds, I'm not a student of all kinds of other prophets, although I've read the Quran, I've read the Bhagavad Gita, I've read The Light by Buddha, because I wanted to know what other people thought. But Jesus Christ really had the answer. And I am a servant of Jesus Christ, so therefore I'm preaching Christ, so that you understand what Christ really said, and then you could become a real Christian. Somebody wrote me today and talked about true Christians. And I wrote him back and said, what's a true Christian? Hasn't answered yet. We'll see what he comes up with, if he even answers. What is a true Christian? Well, a Christian is supposed to be a follower of Christ, so that's somebody who's doing what Christ said to do. So, are we the people doing what Christ said to do? And, of course, I've created a number of web pages at preparingyou.com, which is one of, and anybody who becomes a part of the church, a participant in the church, can seek to become an author on Preparing You. It's a wiki site. So you can actually contribute your own articles, and it has a wide range of articles on that website. How to take care of your teeth, how to do fasting, how to do cleanses, how to different diets that you can have. And it's a lot of different opinions, and so you have to kind of look through it. And there are people who will help you find answers, and that's all part of the Living Network. So the Living Network people can become editors and add to the website, and I add to it. And somebody on the network wrote something about writing about we the people, and they thought that phrase, seen in the original Constitution, meant all the people of America. Well, of course it didn't. We the people, when it was first written, meant we the people of the United States, which wasn't even created yet. And they look down there and you see the names at the bottom. That's we the people. That was all those names. That's the totality of we the people. And it wasn't even the totality of we the people until all those names signed it. Because it's a contract. It's a covenant. It's a constitution. And they were saying, let's do this. And they wrote it all out. Unfortunately, it didn't have all the precepts that God said you should put in a constitution. But that's another matter. It's actually amendable. You could add those. But who else became we the people? Well, it was put to the states. And different states ratified the Constitution. And then, of course, as they ratified it and participated, they elected federal senators, federal congressmen. They even elected a president and a vice president. And those all became we the people. That's we the people. It wasn't the Americans living in each individual state. They weren't even a party to the Constitution. So when they say we the people, they could not be including somebody who was not a party to the Constitution. And the Supreme Court has ruled that they were not a party to it. Now, that was then. Now they may be a party to the Constitution, but in a limited sort of way, based on the law, based on their covenants, based on their contracts, and based on their participation. One of the clauses in the Constitution is you have the right to contract. And people have lots of contracts with the United States government. Of course, there's contractors, but I mean just the individual people make contracts with institutions of the United States. They make agreements. And they sign under penalty of perjury, and they apply for things under penalty of perjury, and they get numbered in the United States, and they become a part of the United States and a part of the institutions through consent, through agreements. And if you don't make certain agreements, you're not responsible for abiding in the rules governing those agreements. Does that mean that you can withdraw consent if you don't like what the United States is doing? Well, that's another issue. You can't where are you going to stand? Where are you going to be? Are there any obligations that you can't just get out of because you withdraw consent? You know, is there any debt involved? Do you owe the United States any money? If you owe them money, you can't just withdraw consent and say, I don't owe it anymore. You may have to pay it back first. Ah, that's a problem. Now, we can't touch on everything as we're talking about this subject. So we're going to skip over some ideas. But if you have questions, join the Living Network, ask those questions. There are lots of ministers there who can point you in the direction where those answers are, because Christ had a solution and we're applying Christ's solution to the problems of the day. And there are problems in every government, in every land. We're not interested in changing governments. We're interested in changing the hearts and minds of the people through Christ so that they can or might be saved, both in this world and the next, because that's what the kingdom of God was for, the living. It wasn't just for the dead. A lot of people have a tendency to think that Christ just preached about after you die, you go to heaven. But he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He told his apostles to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom, and that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He told us to seek the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And so whatever that is, we should be doing that right now in this life, and it should be making a difference, bearing a different kind of fruit. Remember, he even said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees and give it to another who would bear fruit. Now the question is, if he's given it to Christians, or the Christian church, or whatever you want to call it, is that Christian church bearing fruit? And specifically, the fruit that Christ wants to see you bear. Because there's lots of fruit out there, but some of the fruit may be bitter, may even be poisonous. So you want to know about that fruit. So anyway, there's a page at preparingyou.com. And it is entitled Withdraw Consent. And if you do a search there, there's a search engine on every page. you can find that withdraw consent article. And it says, it did not refer to people, referring to we the people, living in the individual states, because the people were not a party to the Constitution. And there's a link there that will take you to an article that explains why we say that. And we didn't make it up. We actually got that from the Supreme Court and other sources, Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law, etc. People have lost access to most of their natural rights, the way they have since the beginning. So people have been going back to the ways the dog returns to his vomit, the pig to his mire. We were told that we would do this through covetousness. We'd be made merchandise again. There'd be a great falling away. Many people would not persevere in the principles of Christianity. And that a large number of people would actually call themselves Christians, but they will be rejected by God because they're actually workers of iniquity, much like the Pharisees. So we need to understand what Christ was actually saying, what he was actually doing, what he was actually talking about, what the apostles were actually doing and saying, and conform to Christ. And that's what his holy church is really all about. We're not creating a new religion or anything. We're trying to repent and return to the ways of Christ, which are the ways of Moses, which are the ways of Abraham, without a lot of the nonsense that you commonly see. So anyway, Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they talk about the Israelites rejecting God, that he should not reign over them, and that rejection is being common amongst the people, as they have done from the beginning. And it was the voice of the people crying out for a ruler who could exercise authority. And on that webpage, we have some links to some of the 1 Samuel 8, 7 that says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So the kingdom of God is where God reigns over you. And if God is not reigning over your life, if somebody else is reigning over your life and can tell you to bow down and serve them and to contribute to what they think is good and evil, and you see it, what they're doing is evil, you still have to contribute, that's because somewhere along the line, you probably rejected God. Now, in order to do that in a clear conscience, you'll need ministers who tell you that what you're doing is okay, that it's okay to reject the precepts and principles of Christ and God. And you'll need rabbis that will help tell you that. And they'll create all kinds of rituals and little things for you to do to make you feel like you're saved. They'll give you phrases that you need to repeat, or maybe a prayer book that you keep reading over and over again, or all kinds of little things. And you'll be so thankful for what they have done that you will contribute large amounts of money to them, and they'll build big buildings, and they'll have great pension plans, and some of them will become extremely rich millionaires because they're so good at tickling your ears and making you feel good about the fact that you're actually rejecting God. And in Samuel 8, 9 through verse 18, it goes on and says, "Now therefore hearken unto the voice," this voice of the people, "howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of king or ruler that shall reign over them." And it goes in a big, long verse after verse. He'll take and take and take and make his instruments of war. And eventually, you're going to cry out. And the Lord's not even going to hear you in that day. Several places in the Bible, they talk about God not hearing you because you've already rejected him. Now, you'll still say, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus talks about that. But you won't be a doer of the word. You won't be trying, striving. I'm not saying perfect doer of the word. I'm saying you have to be moving in that direction. Repenting is about turning around and going in a particular direction. If you haven't repented, you won't be going in the right direction. If you're not going in the right direction, you probably haven't really repented. And even though you say, Lord, Lord, and I believe in Jesus and I accept him as my personal Savior, you're actually not doing what he said, and you may actually be a worker of iniquity. But you still go to church and your pastor says you're great and that you're saved and that you love Jesus and everybody feels real good about it. But you're actually workers of iniquity and not bearing the fruit of Christ, not bearing the fruit of the righteousness of God, but you're actually delivering yourselves, your neighbor, your children, your children's children into perpetual bondage and debt. Christ had set those who got the baptism of Christ free. But people reject that now, and they get the baptism of the modern church, which does not require repentance. Just, you know, say magic words or special words, and then you're saved. You don't actually have to repent or turn around or seek the righteousness of God or seek the kingdom of God. You just say. You believe, and then you're automatically saved. Now, of course, this is just the gospel of Satan, and they've led whole nations, whole worlds astray in this same process. So the people of America have become U.S. persons now. They weren't originally when it said we the people, but now they are U.S. persons. They have also become collateral for debt, and we're going to talk about a video that somebody also sent along these same lines talking about this consent and withdraw consent and how you consent. And it's so interesting. I see these like show up on the Living Network. It's all covered in the book Covenants of the Gods, you know, in detail. I mean, we have more detail. I mean, most of the chapters are just a few pages long. And if you condense it down to like a 8.5 by 5 book, the chapters would be about 12 pages total. Some might go a little bit more than that, but there's only 15 chapters, so it's pretty condensed, but it's pretty intense in explanation of the contractual nature of your bondage. People always like to say, oh, it's the government's fault, or it's the Russians, or, oh, it's the Muslims. That's the newest thing. You know, the Muslims are all supposed to be bad, and not all, but, you know, the radical fundamentalist Muslims are supposed to be bad. And some of them probably are. I mean, every religion has bad people in it. But the problem isn't that. The problem is you. You're not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're seeking an image of Christ created by a false religion, an apostate religion. And you need to repent of that. And you need to know where you went wrong, turn around, and start going back the right way. And if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to strive like Christ said, if you don't want to seek like Christ said, if you don't want to persevere like Christ said, then you probably don't really love him. And you're probably not keeping his commandments. And so you're probably one of those workers of iniquity. Although I'm sure you can find pastors that say you're not, and you can join those churches. And I know there's a lot of money in that kind of message, but I have to tell you the truth, because it's only the truth that will set you free. But it's not enough that you hear the truth. You must act upon it. You know, it's like the prodigal son knew the truth was he was better off in his father's house. But if he didn't leave where he was at and go back to his father's house, he would be the prodigal son still back in feeding the pigs. So he had to repent. You have to repent and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So anyway, people have become these U.S. persons in collateral for debt, and there's a bankruptcy of the nation, and you know, then they went to fiat money, and that are notes and they're debt notes. And you went from, I mentioned it in a show not too long ago, under Ronald Reagan, I think you hit the billion mark. Under Nixon, you were only $400 million in debt. And Clinton, you got, I think, about $7 billion in debt. And then the next president was $11 billion in debt under the Bush administration. $11 trillion in debt. I'm underestimating. Trillion, billion, big numbers. But now, last I heard, you're over $17 trillion in debt. And that, we're talking some serious change here. If you put that together in paper bills and stacked it up in $100 bills, that's a considerable pile. You don't have a building big enough to put it all in. That's a huge amount of debt. And it's not going away. And so you can withdraw consent, but you owe a debt. You're a U.S. person. You're a surety for debt. You go look up surety in the Bible. There's a lot the Bible has to say about surety, being a surety, especially with unbelievers. Not a good thing, really a bad thing. And your pastor should be pointing this out so you understand. Because there is a solution, and it's in Christ. And if you don't understand the problem that Christ was talking about, how are you going to understand the solution? People are now feeling the sting of this foolishness that they've been doing for the last 100 years or more in America and all around the world, because as America goes, so goes the rest of the world. Every country's in debt. Every child born today as a citizen of, you know, any one of hundreds of different countries is born in debt. They owe money before they get their first diaper. They're in debt, and their parents are in debt, and those children are collateral for debt. That's just the way it is, and they don't like it. Most of them deal with it by not admitting it. It's easier to just deny that they're in debt than to actually admit it and realize that our children are born in debt. They're born in bondage. They're going to have to work off that debt. Or they could maybe go on welfare and create more debt. That's always an alternative. But someday, the system will collapse. Just like Rome fell, Babylon fell, all these, you know, Egypt fell. They all go to destruction. They're what Jesus called the unrighteous mammon. And we'll talk more about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking about the foolishness of people, foolishness of people in different countries all over the world. You know, Soviet Union is referred to as a republic. China is supposed to be a republic. Korea is supposed to be a republic. But they're communist regimes within republics. And people are feeling this sting of this socialistic approach to solving problems, which is where you consent and make someone an exercising authority who will become your benefactor. They'll take care of you and provide for your needs, etc. But they will do it by exercising authority, one over the other. Christ said you are not to be that way. Evidently, nobody wants to do what Christ says, but they still want to call themselves Christians. They want to say they believe in Christ, they just don't believe in what he said. And this is his instructions. Knowing he was going to the cross, he said, "You have seen the governments of the Gentile, the rulers of the Gentile, the princes of the Gentiles." And he refers to them as calling themselves benefactors, but exercising authority, one over the other. And he said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it is not to be that way with you. But it is. It is that way with most people saying they are Christians. They actually apply to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority for their daily bread. applying is prayer. And so you're applying to men who exercise authority by taking away from your neighbor, they will be able to provide you with benefits. Jesus said not to be that way because it corrupts your leaders, gives them too much power. It makes you slothful. And you need to repent of that. You need to change the way you do these things and operate. You need to start taking care of one another by love, by faith, by hope, by charity, and the perfect law of liberty, just like the early Christians did. Or I would have to say, you're not a Christian. You're not a follower of Christ. And since Christ was telling us to do that, and that's what Moses told us to do, love thy neighbor as thyself, and all his government was supported with free will offerings because the people had a right to choose. They tithed to their ministers, their public servants, called Levites, according to their service. If they didn't perform any service, they could pick another Levite. They didn't have to elect, you know, like, okay, we're all going to have an election and pick another. They just said, I don't want this Levite anymore. I'm going to pick this one over here. Personally made that choice because they controlled the purse strings of government. Because they were actually a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Most governments who claim that, they are not. They are a government that elects lawmakers who exercise authority one over the other, take away from whoever they wish to take away from this week and give to whoever they wish to give. They are lawmakers. They decide good and evil. They rule over you because you have a common purse of rights. And you may call yourself a republic, but what you actually are is a democracy or an indirect democracy within a republic, or maybe a social democracy in a republic, or an indirect social democracy, or maybe a communist government within a republic. And how did you get there? Contract, consent. Can you withdraw consent in the Soviet Union? No. Can you withdraw consent in China? No. I mean, when they started the one-child contract, you could sign that one-child contract, and then you'd get all kinds of benefits. If you decided to have another child, you were going to be forced to abort that child or pay back all those benefits that you got because you had signed the one-child contract. That's how it works. That's how it works everywhere. When you get those free benefits, free education, protection of equity courts, all these things that they are offering you, you become obligated. You go into bondage. So how do you turn away from that? I mean, everything, you know, schools and everything. You can't just say, I opt out. You individually. I'm not going to pay it and I'm not going to be a part of it. Well, most of you can't just do that. That would be unrighteous. You've created debt. Now you got to pay. It's like a student loan. I mean, that is so clear. It doesn't go. You go have bankruptcy. It doesn't go away. You still owe it. And then comes the question of what are you going to pay it with? But anyway, that's another matter. We'll get too complicated here. So people are now feeling that sting, and they want to break away, stop being slothful. They want their rights back. They realize that they have lost access to the rights because they failed to take back their responsibilities, and so now they want to take back their responsibilities. I admire that courage. I appreciate that initiative. I respect the sacrifices many of these people have made, but it is not really a good strategy. It gets people into a lot of trouble, puts all kinds of stress on them that shouldn't be, and Christ's burden is light. We're talking about coming together and learning what it means to love one another as a society. And you have to do that. You can't know everybody in society, so you have to do this on a congregational basis. And this is what Christ was teaching. That's why all the early church was organized into what we might call today the tens, hundreds, and thousands. We see it all over Europe, in North Africa. We see it repeated in many other countries that existed for about 1,000 years after Christ, and even saw it in some of the early efforts of Americans to return to the ways of Christ. But we keep losing our way. Well, we're going to have a great motivator to find our way here, because the unrighteous mammon's going to fail. And so we need to seek the righteous mammon, the righteous trust, the righteous surety, which is assurance, not insurance. And we'll get to some of that, and we'll talk more about this. If we don't get it at all in this show, we'll do it in the next show. There is a way back, but the people have to change their ways. That's why John the Baptist, Jesus, all said, repent, turn around, change your ways, change the direction you've been going, go another way. This way back has been used throughout history, and we have several books on the subject that you can download for free online. We don't make you buy books. I mean, if you want hard copies, you'll have to pay for them, usually, although I commonly give them away. But really, if you want us to give you a book for free, join the Living Network. I mean, you can download them for free. You don't have to give us your email or anything like that. But join the Living Network. Get a hold of some local minister or what we call contact ministers, personal contact ministers, and talk to them. And if you really can't afford the book, they'll do something about it. This is not like the world. The charity is a responsibility. You should not just give to everybody. It's ask and you shall receive. That's the policy of Christ. You have to ask. And then you have to be honest in that asking. You don't just get something because you're poor. And that's actually where we're going to go. We're going to take some of this because we're going to talk about the Corbett report. But also we're going to talk about some other people in subsequent shows. And the reason why is there's a spiritual process to becoming free, becoming a free people. Liberty is the result of a spiritual choice. And that spiritual choice is a choice where you're willing to see the truth, the whole truth, and provide for it. As people have said in the past, like Patrick Henry, know the whole truth and provide for it. But anyway, the economy of the world is almost in a free fall state. We have had serious setbacks, and debt is growing rapidly. The system is heavily propped up. Everybody's afraid for the other shoe to fall. And there will be some serious adjustments. And many people like have already lost their homes, their jobs, their life savings because of some of these adjustments. And you really haven't seen anything yet. But I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get your attention, so to speak. Corruption is pandemic. Honor, honesty. I could go through all the stories. I mean, just read the news. It's unbelievable what's going on. But some people don't want to see it, so they're not going to see it. Communities are divided. Religion is one of the major divisions, because religion has become what you think about God rather than actually doing what God said. If all the religions actually did what God said, even according to their own religious teachings, the world would be a different place. But everybody's trying to figure out how to be a Christian without doing what Christ said, or be a Jew without doing what Moses said, or being a Buddhist without doing what Buddha said. I don't care who it is. You are altering this, and you hire these ministers. You pay them big sums to say, all I have to do is this. Oh, I like that minister because he makes it so that all I have to do this and everything will be okay. He makes me feel so good. Big mistake. So anyway, religion has become the opiate of the people because it's not real religion. Real religion, the word meant, and that's why in the Bible it talks about religion only 5 times, and 4 of them it's talking about bad religion. And only once they talk about good religion, and it's how you take care of the needy of your society, and you do it without those benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. You do it by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Otherwise, you're not doing it by love. You're doing it by force. Very simple. But people just don't want to see it because they would have to admit they're under a strong delusion and they've been deceived. And they don't want to do that. So now, if I tell you that, what are you going to do? Well, you could crucify me. You could turn me off or never listen to me again or what have you. Or you can actually repent and try to go back the other way. And we'll show you what that way looks like. But you get to make the decisions because we operate by the perfect law of liberty. We are servants. We're not going to rule over you. We're not going to tell you you have to do it this way or that way. You have to leave your other church. You can only go to our church. And no, you find the path by divine revelation that Christ is sending you on. And through 2 or more witnesses, we will either recognize that we believe you're on that path or we will rebuke you and say, I don't think you're on that path. But that's my opinion. But what happens is you separate the goats from the sheep when you do this. And I know a lot about goats and sheep. So believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Anyway, people are floundering for a solution. We know what that solution is because God has revealed it. He reveals it in the Bible, but a lot of people read the Bible and they kill each other over it because they're not really listening to what Christ actually said. But and it's absolutely no point in just giving you the solution, just, you know, spelling it out in 3 easy steps or 10 easy steps. Because you won't take them unless you spiritually are changing in your heart and in your mind. And you don't know how to change, so you have to be changed in your heart and your mind by God writing upon your heart and your mind. So it isn't about so much withdrawing consent as it is about consenting to Christ, consenting to what he actually said to do. Now, there is an element of withdrawing consent. And like I said, someone else gave me a copy of the Corbett Report. And we've done shows about Corbett before and some of the things he said. And they're all archived. They're all downloadable for free. You don't have to send me $19.95. You can download them for free and listen. But don't just listen. Don't just talk. Start doing. But anyway, evidently there's an article on Lou Rockwell's website, and he suggested that I read this one on withdrawing consent. And I tried to look it up, and I finally found Michael Rosef article on, and there's links to it on our website at Preparing You. And we don't link to it from His Holy Church, but Preparing You has a lot of those links that, you know, we're not promoting this. We're just showing you, you can take a look at that if you want. But you follow the Holy Spirit in finding your way here. Because you're not going to listen to us if you don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that. You will eventually reject us. You'll say, oh, no, I can't go there. But anyway, in withdrawing consent, he says it's easy, but surviving that withdrawal may be very hard. Very, very hard. And bad things might even happen to you. He even equates it with this idea of divorce, which usually means not only cutting you off from the benefits of your marriage, but may carry a financial obligation beyond the divorce itself. You know, like alimony, child support. And so you can't just divorce yourself. Somebody has a right to say how you can go, especially since you're in debt. So what were they doing in Egypt when they were in bondage and they wanted to withdraw consent? Because that's an example in history of what happened. We talk about Corvey enslavement, and we have some links to some other articles that we've written, which also have audios, which also have videos. So you can actually just start learning yourself. And a lot of people do that. I have people that have listened to us for 10 years, and you know, they just keep coming back, and they keep learning a little bit more and chewing about it, and finally they get involved. And when you get involved, that's when the Holy Spirit can actually start really making progress. It can make progress no matter what. If you study, you won't even be able to keep going back and listening. It'll just beat you up. I rebuke those who don't want to hear the truth by just hitting them pretty hard with it. You know, I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm going to smack you upside the head with it. You aren't Christians. You aren't following Christ. You're going the opposite way that Christ said to go. You're not bearing the fruit of Christianity. You're bearing the fruit of the Pharisees, which is bad fruit, poisonous fruit. You're doing this so long now that you're actually producing poisonous crops in your countries that are poisoning you and destroying you and destroying your food source. A nation that used to feed the whole world is going to starve. In Egypt, they became chattel. They were surety for debt too, the debt of the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh overextended his treasury at that particular time. If you knew which Pharaoh it actually was, and that's a big hot debate, we won't go into that to be a distraction, but he was leading armies all the way to Canaan. He had a huge debt, and he wasn't even the rightful Pharaoh. The one who actually was the rightful Pharaoh was Moses. And he was called Moses, and they said they called him Moses because they withdrew him from the water. But what they're actually saying is he is Moses because there was Tutmosis. But we don't call him Moses because he was the ruler, the Pharaoh of Egypt. We call him because he was drawn from the water. And water was very important to the Hebrews because it had this idea of flow. And the flow of charity is what really set them free. But in order to serve God, they had to go to a place where they could do this. So while they were still in Egypt, because he wasn't going to let them go, because they were in debt, they were in bondage, they had received the benefits for years. And now they couldn't just opt out. They had to get permission. And so these plagues came. And then finally they gave him permission. Same thing happened at the time of Christ. They actually gave Christ and his followers permission to leave the system of Judea. They thought they would fall flat on their face, but they didn't, because a new spirit came into play at Pentecost and even before with Christ. But now at Pentecost, it was coming through the apostles themselves and many other people. They were getting insight. They were getting revelations. They were able to accomplish miracles. And you will need those miracles. And that spirit comes into play when you first repent and turn around and try to go back the other way. Christ said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Moses said you had to pay your tally of bricks. But he said, stop taking the benefits. Start gleaning in the field at night for your benefits. And if you do that, what you're doing is like the prodigal son. You're on your journey back to your father's house. He will run out and meet you and bless you with spiritual miracles. And so now we come down to slavery by consent, which is part of the section in, on that page. And if you want to go see the video, we have a link there to this slavery by consent video. And he's not wrong in everything he's saying there. He's actually right about a great many things. He's missing a few things. And they don't have social security numbers in Canada. They have social insurance numbers. And so it's not an SSN, it's an SIN. So he has this reference to sin, the sin. And it's the sin number, the social insurance number, which you get from men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, and they will provide you with benefits at the expense of your neighbor in a system that is not based on loving your neighbor, but forcing your neighbor to contribute. That's exactly what the Corban of the Pharisees was, and the Corban of Rome. The original Corban in Judea, and even the original Corban in Rome, was based on free will offerings. And there was the Pudens, who were actually relatives of Paul, the apostle. And they were big advocates of charity to support the needy of society and not forced contributions. So therefore, when they saw the gospel, they knew, we want that. And that's what they sought. And they had been to Great Britain. And of course, Putin Sr., he had been had been married to Paul's mom for years after Paul's father had died. And you know, we explain all this in our series on Rome and Paul, and we explain this connection, and we have articles up on the website so you can look it up. But anyway, there has always been in every government two systems of welfare. One that operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, and was the core of the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it's the way America used to operate and took care of all the social welfare, most all of the education, by free will offerings, by charity. But we've gotten away from that, and we've said, no, we want to have a ruler who forces our neighbor to contribute because of our jealousy, our envy, our covetousness. And a new spirit has come in and darkened our eyes. And now we have the blind leading the blind, telling you, oh, you don't have to worry about that. Just believe. You don't have to repent and turn around and follow Christ. You know who said you don't have to repent? Constantine. He just said, get baptized. He didn't say repent and get baptized. And of course, that was the beginning of the apostate church, because many people became Christians or called themselves Christians, got baptized and called themselves Christians, but they didn't actually repent. And so now we've had thousands of years of religion trying to cover up the simple fact that unless you're living by faith, hope, and charity, unless you're praying to God for your daily bread, living by that perfect law of liberty, if you're praying to men who call themselves benefactors, who exercise authority, you haven't repented. You're not a Christian, and you're not following Christ. So if you realize that now, and you're beginning to see that all the problems of the world come from the fact that we're following the wrong welfare, social welfare system, one based on force, which is a return to Egypt. If you realize that and you don't try to come together with other people, congregate together with other people seeking to live by faith, hope, and charity. I mean, the Amish do it. But if you don't want to have to wear suspenders and long beard and go around riding horses only, then you might want to join our network. Otherwise, you better join the Amish, because there's hardly anybody else doing this. Actually, I can show you little pockets of it in many religious groups. But we have to put on the full armor of God, and we want the full coverage of the Spirit. We have to repent. We have to turn around. We have to go back the way we came. And that means go back and accept the responsibilities of being a government of the people, for the people, and by the people through free will offerings. That's what the church is supposed to do. Not tickle your ears. Not get some benevolent leader elected. But repent and turn back and go the ways of a righteous society, no longer coveting our neighbor's goods. And we have lots of links on that page that show you how and make connections and join the network and gather with other people and start really becoming the true Christians, which are those who keep his commandments. Don't just say, Lord, Lord, but actually do what he said. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.